KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, today east winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight east winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. And Saturday, variable winds 10 knots, becoming southwest 15 in the afternoon, seas 4 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory tonight. Today, east winds 30 knots, seas 6 feet. Tonight, east winds 25 knots, seas 6 feet. And Saturday, east winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today. Today, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 11 feet with rain. Tonight, east winds 30 knots, becoming southeast 20 after midnight, seas 8 feet with rain. And Saturday, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 6 feet. Port Hyden and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet. Tonight, east winds 30 knots, seas 4 feet. And Saturday, southeast winds 20 knots, seas 2 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today. Today, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 6 feet. Tonight, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet. And Saturday, south winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, rain likely mainly before 10 a.m. Cloudy with highs near 42. East winds 10 to 25 miles per hour with gusts as high as 35. Tonight, rain likely mainly after 1 a.m. Cloudy with lows around 39. East winds 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts as high as 35. And Saturday, rain likely, mainly before 7 a.m. Cloudy, highs near 43, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 25. Your tide predictions for the Pop-Off Island. There was a high tide at 1:06 a.m. at 6 feet 6 inches, a low at 7:44 a.m. at 5 inches, a high tide at 1:56 p.m. at 5 feet 3 inches, and a low at 7:24 p.m. at 2 feet. Your sun rose at 6:42 this morning, and your sun will set at 10:35, bringing us up to 15 hours and 52 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaskans are partnering with a regional native organization to help preserve the Unangam Tanu language. And NOAA is defunding a sea ice data collection program. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by GCI. Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Unalaska. GCI now offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and same pricing as Anchorage. More information at gci.com/internet.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Thursday, May 8th, 2025. The indigenous language of the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands is at risk of aging out. Across the country, there are just about 60 fluent speakers of Unangam Tanu, and most of them are elders. Locals in Unalaska are partnering with a regional native organization to preserve the language for future generations. KUCB's Sophia Stewart Rossi reports.
Talk to yourself about not cheating.
No cheating.
Good. It's after school on a Friday night in Unalaska. The classrooms are usually empty as students and staff head off for the weekend, but not this winter evening. A group of people circles around a table playing cards. They're exchanging Go Fish cards, but it's not your typical go fish game.
Nikita Melissa Chaska Mataltkine.
Players are speaking in Unangam Tudu, the language of the Unanga people who have lived in the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands for thousands of years.
Chaska Fanok Taltkine.
This activity is part of a week-long language workshop led by the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association, or APIA, a regional nonprofit Native organization. They have teachers who travel around the region and teach the language to locals. The Kaulungan tribe of Unalaska invites them out at least once a year to help Unalaskans brush up on Unangam Tanu. Anfisa Tudiakov is the cultural resource director for the tribe. She says language preservation is particularly crucial because there are only a few fluent Unangam Tanu speakers in Unalaska today.
We are seeing the language lost, so we really need our younger generations to start taking it on and start learning it and to do it properly.
Most of the country's remaining speakers are elders, but asking an elder to speak Unangam Tanu can be challenging. For nearly 100 years, many Alaskan Native children were punished. If they spoke their native language at boarding schools, they were forcibly sent to.
I think sometimes when people think about our dark past, like, they think, oh, that was so long ago. It wasn't. My mom's mom was forced to speak English.
That's Ariel Gustafson. She's in the Kaulungan tribe and participates in APIA's language workshops. Gustafson says many elders, like her grandmother who went to the boarding schools, became fluent listeners. They understand the language, but don't speak it due to past trauma.
I came home one day and I was in either kindergarten or first grade, pretty young, and my grandma was still alive. And I was like, Grandma, I can count to 10 and I'll you. And I was like, a tuck and all, and I counted to 10 and she started bawling and I didn't get why.
Now Gustafson is determined to help create a brighter future for Unangam Tanu. She teaches it in weekly classes in Unalaska.
And so I think we kind of have to do it to prove that we're still here and the culture is still alive. And it's like, hey, you tried to beat it out of us and they were legit, in fact, disciplined for not speaking English. But like, we're here, we're trying, and you can't make me speak English.
Gustafson learned how to teach Unangam Tanu from the APIA language workshops held around the region. But this is the second year the Native organization is hosting the week-long workshop here in Unalaska. Nikita Shelikov is one of the traveling teachers. She lives in Anchorage, but grew up in False Pass in the Eastern Aleutians. Shelikov says it's important to have the Unangam classes in Unalaska.
A lot of the adults that have come to this class, like, they were never taught it by their parents or grandparents.
The Kaulungan tribe of Unalaska holds regular language preservation programs, like Healing with Plants for Unanga Women, and an annual kids' summer camp on the island focused on Unanga traditions, from art to food to hunting, where they also teach Unangam Tanu. Aaron Levesque, another APIA teacher, says it's essential to teach young children the language. Not only because children learn languages more easily, but it's also part of healing the wounds of colonization and forced assimilation.
My grandchildren have been hearing it since they were in the womb. And when I'm home, every morning my grandson comes running into my room and says, Kilamechamna, Kuka. I'm gonna cry.
Back in the classroom, the Unangam Tanu week-long workshop is coming to a close. Levesque asks the class to gather in a half circle to sing an Unanga song together. This is just one step in reclaiming Unangam Tanu, a native language that was once silenced by colonizers not long ago. In Unalaska, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi. A case questioning whether cities can be held liable for emergency services provided outside city limits was heard by the Alaska Supreme Court. And as KNOM's Ben Townsend tells us, the case sets an important precedent for rural communities across the state.
The case centered around a 2019 vehicle accident that occurred about 35 miles outside of city limits. According to the opinion, plaintiff John Roshan suffered serious injuries after being ejected from a vehicle and was later transported by emergency responders to the hospital. Roshan alleged that the city of Nome and an EMT were negligent in their rescue efforts. The opinion, issued Friday, said that three EMTs held Roshan on a backboard rather than securing him with straps. Roshan claimed this worsened his injuries as the ambulance navigated the 35-mile drive back to town on a gravel road. The city argued that it was immune from liability under Alaska state law, which protects municipalities and their employees from lawsuits stemming from the gratuitous extension of municipal services on an extraterrestrial basis, because the ambulance service was provided outside of city limits. Roshan contended that because he was billed nearly $2,000, that the service could not be considered gratuitous. However, the Supreme Court sided with the city, affirming that gratuitous in this context means services provided without legal obligation, not necessarily without cost. Chief Justice Susan Carney wrote that, quote, defining gratuitous as without legal obligation is consistent with this legislative purpose to encourage municipalities to be good Samaritans and provide services that they are not required to provide. She went on to say that, quote, unless a municipality has entered a contract otherwise, it generally has no duty to provide emergency or other services beyond its borders. Reporting in Nome, I'm Ben Townsend.
Meanwhile, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced Tuesday that it will defund a program that catalogs sea ice data. As Shelby Herbert reports for the Alaska Desk, scientists say the program's termination could create a gap in climate research at a time when polar ice is dwindling to historic lows.
Rick Toman is a climate specialist at the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy in Fairbanks. He's taking a tour group past the International Arctic Research Center's Climate Stripes art installation. It's a long hallway at the University of Alaska Fairbanks covered with vertical stripes and a spectrum of blue and red.
Welcome to our Climate Stripes wall. So in good university fashion, how many people know what climate stripes are?
He says bluer stripes mean the temperature was cooler than the 100-plus year average, while shades of red mean warmer than average. At the end of the hallway, the stripes stop. Every year, from about 2000 till now, makes up a solid wall of scarlet. A guest asks, what changed? Toman says it's pretty simple. Less ice means higher temps.
So a lot of what's driving this is the collapse of sea ice, both decreased extent and the thinning of sea ice, and of course, increasing greenhouse gases.
That long-term Arctic temperature data is safe, but the United States' premier catalog of sea ice data isn't. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, is the federal organization that funds the Sea Ice Index, a program that monitors the long-term retreat of Arctic sea ice. NOAA announced earlier this week that it will decommission the program. That move is preceded by many other NOAA cutbacks this year. According to an internal budget document, the Trump administration is seeking to end nearly all climate research conducted by the agency. It also follows an Alaska Climate Research Center report that says Arctic sea ice has been at or near record low levels since December. Toman says the scientific community will mourn the loss of the sea ice index, which he uses for his own research all the time. He says he anticipated fresh ice data from the Bering, Chukchi, and Beaufort seas every single day.
And so we can track how things are changing and how it is now relative to last year or the year before or 30 years ago.
Hayo Eichen directs the International Arctic Research Center at UAF. He says the loss of the ice index might also greatly impact the lives and livelihoods of coastal Alaskans. For example, it could impede people's ability to determine the best time to schedule the barges that resupply communities off the road system.
All of that type of activity relies on the sea ice information that gives you a sense of what's normal, like what can we expect for a particular year.
Toman says other global sea ice monitoring programs, like those in Europe and Japan, could pick up the slack. But the loss of the NOAA-funded sea ice index, which he calls the gold standard, will sting.
So without this sea ice data, at least in the short term, people ask me, you know, what's the sea ice concentration look like in the Bering Sea? What's the ice extent now compared to last year? In the short term, the answer is going to be, we don't know.
NOAA officials did not respond to a request for comment by press time. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
KUCB's monthly mental health radio program airs tomorrow following the Bering Sea Barometer at noon. Check Up from the Neck Up is a new KUCB radio show that dives into mental health and its impact on the region in hopes of building a healthier and more supportive community. April was Child Abuse Awareness Month. In this episode, guests Delta Bedard, Emlyn Crane, and Robert Johnson joined our morning host, Ryan Humphrey, to discuss ways to keep kids safe and healthy. Here's a clip from tomorrow's episode.
At what age should parents start talking to kids about personal safety?
I think as soon as they can form questions, and basically the sooner the better. I think, you know, open communication with kids in regards to their safety from a very young age is extremely important. I mean, in-depth conversations, you know, and constant, all the time, letting them know. Again, being very careful that the children don't become fearful of other people, but at the same time that they understand cautionary measures, you know, and when things that you can do, things that you shouldn't do, things like that.
What Delta was saying, age appropriate. Little people you're going to talk to a little bit differently than older kids. And how do you have those conversations? You know, do you wait till they're teenagers? No. You know, age 3 and 5 is a good time to do that. About what's a safe touch, what's not a safe touch. Because most perpetrators are not strangers. They're trusted ones. What's a good secret? Secret of we're going to have a birthday party for Ezzy, as opposed to a secret you're not supposed to tell someone. What is that? You know what? Running through that with a youngster. So that's part of staying safe. That starts at age 3 or 5.
And I think obviously these topics are difficult to talk about. They're difficult for adults to talk about. So, but there are a lot of great books out there for. Various ages for imparting these messages to kids. Then I would also say, you know, look for moments of opportunity to talk about things. Like if you have a pet, you know, you can talk about how, you know, sometimes the pet might not want to be touched and that's okay. If your kid doesn't want to hug Uncle Joe, don't make them hug Uncle Joe. Say, you know, you can be polite, but you don't have to hug if you don't want to. You know, you need to impart this message of bodily autonomy. When you take your kid to the doctor, you can talk about why it's okay for the doctor to touch them, but not for other people. So, and it's like Delta said, you want to have this balance of not making kids fearful. You also want to make sure that it's a topic that they're comfortable enough with that they'll bring it up if they need to. And personally, I think making sure kids know the right names of their body parts makes it a lot easier if they have something to tell you is happening to them that you'll know what they're saying. Instead of having euphemisms for body parts, just give them the right names.
That was KUCB's morning host Ryan Humphrey speaking with guests Delta Bedard, Emlyn Crane, and Robert Johnson about ways of keeping kids healthy and safe for this month's Check Up from the Neck Up episode. Check Up from the Neck Up is a new KUCB radio show that dives into mental health and its impact on the region in hopes of building a healthier and more supportive community. It's produced by KUCB in cooperation with Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence, or USAFE, and the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association, or APIA. You can catch the whole episode tomorrow after the Bering Sea Barometer right here on KUCB, or find it online at kucb.org. Now let's take a look at community events coming up over the weekend. The Vet Clinic is at the Burma Road Chapel until Monday. For appointments, call 907-359-2707. That's 907-359-2707. Or email aleutianvet@gmail.com. APIA will be hosting their third annual Substance Misuse Symposium today through Saturday. The 3-day conference will take place at the Grand Aleutian Hotel's McCushion Room. The symposium will also feature mental health first aid training for first responders and teens, along with community sessions on substance misuse, stigma, and treatment. Community open mic will be this Friday evening from 7 to 9 o'clock at the Burma Road Chapel. Performers of all kinds, including poets, storytellers, musicians, and comedians, are welcome. Coffee and light refreshments will be served at this all-ages event. The Museum of the Aleutians will be hosting a spring story time this Saturday morning at 11:30. The event will have spring-themed stories and activities for all ages. Also on Saturday afternoon, the Museum of the Aleutians will host a free egg carton flower craft starting at 1 o'clock. This drop-in program is for all ages and features materials to create colorful flowers using egg cartons and paint. The Museum of the Aleutians will also host a volunteer opportunity for high school students and community members on Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4 o'clock each day. The event offers a chance to help preserve local history at the museum with no registration required. For more information on this week's events, head to our community calendar at kucb.org. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at noon and 5 o'clock right here at KUCB for a new episode of the Bering Sea Barometer. That's a weekly update on fisheries in the region with your host, Captain Pete Nathan. Find all episodes of the podcast on our website and on Spotify. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSTP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, an environmental assistant, and an administrative assistant. The Shimmigan Corporation is hiring a bartender. The Palof Harbor Tribe is hiring a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is looking for a part-time pull-tab sales assistant, a full-time temporary public works laborer, and a full-time temporary harbor office assistant. The King Cove Department of Public and Safety is looking to hire a certified police officer. Interested applicants can contact the King Cove PD at 907-497-2210. EATS is hiring a behavior health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk / janitor for Cold Bay. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
We can't play this game anymore, but can we still be friends? Things just can't go on like before, but can we still be friends? We had some.
darkness settles on the town as the children start to sing. And the lady across the street, she shuts out the night. There's the thousands waiting as she turns out the light. But it's too late, too late.
Except the sunset, my hand in her hair. We are our own saviors as we start both our hearts eating life into each other. Wondering aloud, will the years treat us well? As she floats in the kitchen, I'm tasting the smell. smell. Yeah. Of toast as the butter runs, then she comes, spilling crumbs on the bed. And I shake my head. And it's only the giving that makes you what you are.
Told me your hands to yourself.
The most music for Sandpoint is on 8:30 a.m. KSDP.
Yeah. fell from her eye. Yeah, she looked up at me. These are the words that she said.
Yeah.
so happy. Do anything, take us out of this gloom. Sing a song, play guitar, make it snappy. Guarantees. Please don't be sad if it was a straight line you had. We wouldn't.